times back, a Daily said, carried an article about some type of a robbery and a theft where the criminal slipped and broke his foot. So the court had sued the household where he slipped. Wherever the robber had been robbing, and the household was charged. The reason for them being charged is that why didn't they do the floor and the steps accurately, that this criminal had to come and break his leg here. So now this is a precedent that is being set by the first world country. Nearly all the first world countries where every crime and every criminal, a gay, a lesbian, bisexual, a thug, he's got a right. And the person that is innocent, modest, shameful, bashful, some discipline, then he's wrong. So we are going to the former days of ignorance. And the leaders that are leading us to that path of ignorance is the first world. And we feel inferior of ourselves, that we are the third world, and we're supposed to be following the first world. What they're doing is right. But if you compare the both, then you'll find they are taking you on the path of ignorance, but because they appear so well, attractive, so affluent, influential in the language that they speak, so we get affected and we feel that they are the masters, they are the rulers, we should follow the queue, otherwise we'll get left out. But not realizing that the same process is taking you towards ignorance. Now, I say this is the second period of ignorance. This same ignorance had taken place around the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well, where there was a Bani Israel, there was a crime that was committed there, of adultery, right? Fornication, adultery, and two married people were found guilty. So those people that were living around Medina Munawara, the Kitabis, non-Muslims, were living around, they didn't know how to resolve this, because both are married people and both are guilty of the crime. And both are guilty of the crime, now how do we handle this case? So anyway, they felt in their best interest, we should go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and take a decision from him. But when deliberating, discussing this whole issue, said, well, what presses us to go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and not settle this ourselves? So they found that the catalyst, the reason for them going to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was that the law that is contained in this scripture is quite stringent. The Old Testament says that both such culprits must be stoned to death. And then, we'll go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and because we hear that the law here is very much relaxed as compared to the former scriptures, so there may be a relaxation in this regard. But then on second thought, on hind thought, they felt, no, but say for example, the law is the same. In the Old Testament and the Quran, the law pertaining to such a crime or such criminals are identical, the same. What do we do? Now they're rehearsing it. In absentia, they're rehearsing the whole thing. Now what we should be doing is we'll present the case hypothetically. As though, say for example, there were two people that were guilty of this crime, then what is your take? What is your decision? So that when you present it before him, then there will be no implication, because we will say that it's just a hypothetical situation, it's not a real thing. يَقُولُونَ إِنْ أُوْتِيتُمْ هَذَا فَخُذُوهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تُؤْتَوْهُ فَحْذَرُوا. That if he gives you a relaxed decision, then accept it. It's relaxed. Now we can get out of the death sentence. But if it is that it is identical like what the Old Testament says, then there's no point. If it's relaxed, it will go by it. And by Allah Ta'ala, when we meet Allah Ta'ala, if we take this relaxed version, now it's all being deliberated. If we are confronted with Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has to ask us, well, why did you take this? You know, and why did you leave out the Old Testament that was your kitab? Why did you prefer this? So we'll say, Ya Allah, Nabiyun min Anbiya'ik. Allah Ta'ala, He's also a Nabi. So whatever is coming from you. So we'll cover ourselves by Allah Ta'ala, and we'll cover ourselves by the people of the world. So now everything is being connived, everything is being staged and rehearsed before they present the whole case to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As though Allah Ta'ala doesn't know what's going on. What's in your mind, what you are rehearsing, and what you are planning and conniving, as though they make it appear as though Allah Pak doesn't know about it. Anyway, the case comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears the case, so he asks, alright, what do your scriptures have to say about it? You're asking me for a decision. I want to know from you, what does your scripture say? So they brought the Torah. When they brought the Torah and that page was open, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, recite. As they're reciting, and now they're approaching that verse, so one person just put his hand there and tried to flip the page. So another rabbi that was a rabbi became a Muslim, said, no, why read that article, that passage there, I want you to read. So he read it, and clearly it stated that both these culprits must be stoned to death. So Adisham asked the person that was representing the Bani Israel, he asked him, but since when you have started distorting the word of Allah Ta'ala? يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِي, changing the words, reinterpreting, redefining. When you started this business? So this Ibn Surya, he was the representative, and around that time he was the most learned of the rabbis, Jewish rabbis, most learned. On the surface of the earth, there wasn't a person as learned as him. So Nabi Sallam asked him, and he says, had you not given me an oath in the name of Allah Ta'ala, I wouldn't have said you the truth. But the truth of the matter is this, that what you are saying is, what the Quran Sharif is saying is right. And number two, why we connived in this manner is, what had happened initially, a similar crime was committed, like we say, first class, the first world. So, a family of nobility and a family of status, the same crime was committed in them. When a crime is committed, and it's committed by those people that are known to be now of status, influence, right? So we felt to ourselves that if you're going to stone the culprit to death, then it is his izzat, reputation, his integrity. So we should look for something else, because the whole family's reputation is going to go. One person committed a crime, you're going to stone the person to death, what's going to happen to the name of the whole family? So we said, look for an alternative, alright, blacken the person's face, and mount him on an ass and parade him around the town. So this is what we had thought of. But that not very long after that, the third world now. So the first world committed the crime, Bani Israel, again, the third world Bani Israel. People of not that level of status and influence, they committed the same crime. When they committed the same crime, and we said to them that now this crime requires warrants, stoning to death. So these people said, well, if it is such, then your man committed the same crime, execute the punishment on him, then execute it on our man. So now we settle, we all will move away from the Torah, we'll just blacken the face, mount him on an animal, and just parade him. So now, this is that point that we reinterpret, redefine, and in the process of redefining and reinterpreting, anything can be proven to be right. Anything. Any crime, any wrong. When the first world will commit a crime, then you will say, no, it was a crossfire, it was an accident. The man was mentally disturbed, and he committed the crime and he was mentally disturbed. But if it is a Muslim that is committing the same crime, you say Al-Qaeda, terrorist, and they got a malicious intent. Same, the crime, the nature of the crime is identical. But immediately, if it's a Muslim, he becomes Al-Qaeda, he becomes terrorist, So this reinterpretation and redefining. And then this whole business is controlled by the media. And we, with a lot of respect, we accept the media, we follow it. What you say, Hazrat, so fi sad hum isko kabool karte hai. Whatever you say, you are the Quran Sharif. So whatever you say, we accept it. Our Quran Sharif is outdated. What you say, that is what we're supposed to be going with. So we left the Quran Sharif, that is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, justice for all, and then we went to reinterpret and went on this first word note, thinking that this is status, this is understanding, this is recognition, not realizing that we're going back to ignorance, back to stupidity. And after some times, when you come to your senses, you realize, well, I've really gone off the mark already, altogether. So this reinterpretation and this redefining really is not the way of the Quran Sharif. The resource had warned, had pre-warned. There are three things that I'm very much concerned. It's really concerning me, it's distressing me. Three matters. The one matter that is causing a lot of consternation, a lot of worry, is that wealth becomes abundant. Like in this day, as though the whole world has spewed out all its resources. Everything that you could think of is spewed out. There's nothing else left. Technology, now it's reached to its ultimate, right? And the type of luxuries and comforts, now it's come to the ultimate. A person can build a home for himself, just him, his wife and one child, for over 70 million rands. So you can understand now that what levels we have reached. So the world, the material spewed out everything. As though we got the whole world, we whatever the world has got to offer, we have enjoyed it, we have experienced it. The malls have got it, the halls have got it. For a single wedding, to splash out about 15-20 million rand just on the deco and the guests that come, it's a small thing, not a thing that is not heard of. So the world has spewed out everything. When the world has spewed out everything, now we feel that for us to get the status, we also need to have that type of wealth. If we don't have that wealth, and we're not comparing, not competing with that person, then we are backwards. But then, we count this as a pride, as an arrogance, as a thing of nobility, as a thing of status, that I need to have that wealth for me to get that status and recognition. But then, are we Muslims? Are we the ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Are we the slaves of modernism? Or are we the slaves of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that I am afraid about this. And we say, no, we want it. So as though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going on one direction, and we are going on a totally opposite direction. Imagine we are performing namaz here, right? All of us, one direction. And there is some musallis performing namaz on the opposite direction. Will you say namaz is valid? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taking us in one direction. Say, I am very, very terrified about this. That the dunya will spew itself. And you will run, you will compare with each other. In just accumulating. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسَتْ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَتُهْلِكُكُمْ كَمَا يُهْلِكُكَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. That you will compare with each other in this accumulating, going more and more and more. And then the dunya will give you such a slap, it will bust you. Like how it broke the people of the past, it will break you as well. But now, Nabi Sahib is saying that this is my fear, my concern. And we say, well, this is my pride. If you're going for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala, you know, my business is not working out. And that property there, that it needs to turn. And you ask the person, how much you're turning? Well, only about 2 million in the month. Only 2 million. That is also short. I need to just escalate the figures. The digits, I need to just add the digits. So Nabi Sallam is saying that, why I am afraid about this. And you say now, we want it. So obviously, there wasn't any person that knew things as Nabi Sallam knew it. Pertaining to this world, this life, and the next. And the second great concern of Nabi Sallam was that the Quran and the Hadith will become open. It becomes open, and then it becomes subject to every person's interpretation. Educated, non-educated, not educated, understanding, not understanding, being an expert in the Quran and the Hadith, in the related sciences, not being an expert. Anybody and everybody. Well, I know Arabic. I know the translation. So I can interpret, I can give my own understanding, my own explanation. Why? I know the language. So I know the language, so I can give my own interpretation. I don't need anybody to come and explain to me. So this is the general take. And Nabi Sallam is saying, when this Quran Sharif or Hadith becomes open and available to anybody and everybody, and everybody begins to understand it in his own way, I am afraid about this time. My one friend was traveling abroad, whether it was America or wherever. And in flight, so there was an Arab professor, Arabic speaking professor, next to him. British flight, and he ordered some steak, alright, whatever he ordered, it was brought to him, served to him. Now my friend is thinking, but this man is an Arabic speaking, he's a professor in Arabic, and he ordered this meal, how is he going to eat this? Because this is not halal, how is he going to eat this? So anyway, he felt a little bit apprehensive to talk to him directly, but I don't know the person, and to broach the subject directly with him may be a little bit dangerous. Anyway, he got around, and said, when after some time, 10 minutes going around, eventually came to the meals. He said, but this is halal, what's wrong in this? Because the Quran Sharif says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Eat, simple translation will be, take the name of Allah Ta'ala and eat. A simple translation will be, take the name of Allah Ta'ala and eat. So see, I am saying Bismillah on this meat and I'm eating. So what's wrong? You see, out of context. He is translating the Quran Sharif correctly. We will not dispute him correctly translating the Quran Sharif. But has he recited it in context or out of context? I mean, he translated it and he interpreted it out of the context. He made a big mess up. What the Quran Sharif is saying, if you look the whole passage, look at it, don't look at it selectively, but look at the entire passage, what the Quran Sharif is saying, that at the time of slaughter, you say Bismillah and then eat it. So he left the entire context and selected this one verse, that just read the name of Allah Ta'ala and eat that thing, what's wrong? But you see a major blunder, where it comes about. Now, generally people don't have the time to understand in context, take the time, understand if it's an Arabic idiomatic expression, is it figurative speech, is it literal meaning, is there a context, which verse came first, what context is being recited, they don't have the time. They want to take something selective, something that is agreeable to their minds and to their feelings and move with it. As though to appease themselves, like those Bani Israels they did, they said if we get caught out by Allah Ta'ala tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we will say, Ya Allah, Nabiyum min Anbiyaik. This was a decision given by a Nabi. So they want to impress on Allah Ta'ala. This was a decision given by your Nabi. So we took it from your Nabi. So what's wrong? You see, they're conniving and planning against Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And what a confusion you bring about. The only way that we get out of this is in our worldly matters, worldly sciences. It's medicine, for example, we'll go to an expert. He gave his dedicated his life in medication. Understood it. It's a heart problem. I will not just go to the Google and read up something on heart and try and experiment myself. I will not do that. So I know what a delicate matter this is. He must have the professional guidance of his seniors, trained so long, internship, go through the whole process, 10, 15 years. Then he does a surgery, then you say he's right. Then he says, he gives his 2 cents worth. And you say it's right, because he's got that type of experience. But someone just did his own research. So no, I'm also a man. So what doctors have got, they bought all the franchise in medicine that they can only practice. What will you say? So no, boy, don't jump the gun. Everything has to go in the procedure. Now the same will apply in Deen also. Someone has spent so much of time, he understood the whole thing, seen it in context, then he gave you an explanation, you will not have any confusion. But where one wants to do it himself, out of context, selective, doing it according to what his mind says, obviously, the more people will give their 2 cents, the more they will get out of their senses. Allah bless you.